two things that the great country known as the United States of America can really sink its teeth into. One is getting behind an underdog. The other is a hell of a scandal. With Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We appreciate you spending part of your evening, or if you're out on the West Coast, or your afternoon with us here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as we are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. Let's begin with Major League Baseball and their scandals, Zaz. And thanks for filling in here on a Monday.
Yeah, good to be
on
with
a
you.
Massive overreaction Monday, brother. Rob Manfred, he's right in the middle of it, man. Shohei Ohtani spoke today through an interpreter. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Major League Baseball. The last thing baseball wants is another gambling scandal. They're still dealing with Pete Rose. All these years later, you bring up Pete Rose, the first thing you think of, Zaz, is?
Gambling.
That's it. He belongs in Cooperstown, but we're not going down that road because, you know what, phone lines will light up. It's like talking about LeBron or Jordan.
Right.
I mean, we ain't going there tonight. But they're still dealing with that. And that's why you have it every Major League clubhouse. You know, you do not wager on Major League Baseball, or basically it's your derriere.
Well,
it's your butt. It's over.
Black Sox was like 100 years ago. We still all know about it, and it was forever ago.
Yeah, great movie.
Yes.
You know, about the great Black Sox scandal. So anyway, Shohei spoke today. Quick tidbit. Here's Shohei through an interpreter on whether he did bet on baseball or any other sport.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Sounds like a mashup right there between the interpreter and Shohei, right? So, well done, James. I can't hear you, James, if you're trying to talk. But anyway, so there you have that, right? I don't know how much I believe or how much I don't believe when it comes to Shohei, because 4.5, I wouldn't give my brothers access to my checking accounts, which don't have $4.5 million of disposable income. Heck, it doesn't have $4.50 of disposable income in it. But I'm damn sure not giving up access to those accounts like Shohei alleges he did with his interpreter today.
I have so many issues with so much of what's been going on with this story over the last few days. And by the way, anyone that was excited, once Dave Roberts came out yesterday and met with the media and said that Shohei is going to address the media tomorrow meaning today, and everyone got excited, I mean, what were you getting excited about? Did you think Shohei was going to stand up there and take questions? I mean, obviously, there was going to be a brand new interpreter. I hope the first question was, will you steal from me? There was going to be a brand new interpreter up there, you know, it's giving that statement from Shohei, and then we're going to keep it moving. Like, we weren't going to find out anything from Shohei Ohtani today. Not a chance.
No, and there is an ongoing investigation. Therefore, the easy reason to not take questions is there is an ongoing investigation.
Yeah.
Something just doesn't still smell right to me with this entire thing surrounding his interpreter, Ohtani, 4.5 million reasons to have a little stench surrounding this whole story. So that was earlier today.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half ago. Now, about 30 minutes ago, Adam Silver just told Rob Manfred, move on over, partner, because I'm taking your seat, commissioner of the NBA. Now, Gene Wojnarowski drops a Woj bomb, and it involves, of course, Zaz.
Yeah, the very famous forward for the Toronto Raptors, Jonte Porter.
Wagering. He is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months. The details and the timeline, Zaz, are fascinating. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so this is juicy stuff. Like, it didn't start out juicy where, you know, Ian tells you it's Jonte Porter. It's like, all right, shoulder shrug. But the details are juicy here. Again, Adrian Wojnarowski just put this story out 20 minutes ago, maybe?
Roughly somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So there's two games that he's been pulled from the Raptors lineup tonight. There's two games that are being investigated. The first one, and this will be a little portion of the show called Zaslow Reads. In the game on January 26th against the Clippers, there was an increased betting interest on the under for Porter props, which for the night were set at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists. There was also an over-under for Porter's made three-pointers, which was half a three-pointer. That night, Ian, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game because of what the Raptors said was a re-aggravation of an eye injury he suffered 4 days earlier. He did not score that night. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, did not even attempt a three, meaning, you guessed it, Ian, the under hit on all of the props. Story continues. The next day, as part of the daily report to users on betting results, DraftKings Sportsbook reported the under on Porter's threes was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player prop from that evening. Okay, the story continues. Porter played 19 minutes 2 days later, scored 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, normal production a couple days later. All right, the next game, March 20th. Porter played just 3 minutes before leaving the game with what the Raptors said was an illness and did not return. He did not score, attempted and missed one shot, had 2 rebounds. The sportsbooks had his totals of 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. The next day, it was reported Porter's prop bets were the, you guessed it, number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. Ian, this is not a big-name player. This is a very, very suspicious story.
Beyond suspicious. Now, if you're wondering how in the hell could they track this, well, sports wagering is monitored by, you know, every NBA team. I mean, the league has an army of scientists and data experts that focus on these irregularities, anomalies, right?
Yep.
Of possible third party, you know, wagers and whatnot, and that's how they're able to track all this stuff. And Vegas does as well, because they don't want to get beat, they don't want to be taken. I remember talking to the founder of the MGM Sportsbook, Jay Rude, who's in the Vegas Hall of Fame, how they were able to do all this, because you have no earthly idea the amount of manpower we dedicate to making sure what you just described. At any level, the biggest star to the 14th guy on a bench, right, that they can't get taken. And that's how they're able to find this stuff out. Porter makes about $415,000.
Yeah, he's a two-way player, makes $415,000.
He is just basically flushed $415,000 right down the toilet.
I think his career could be over.
Oh, yeah, because they're not coming out with this, and they don't have those details, unless they've got you, right? So now you have Major League Baseball dealing with its biggest star in a wagering scandal. And now you have like the 13th guy he's not the 13th guy, but he's like the 8th guy, right, on the Raptors, who's averaging around 4-4, mm-hmm. who is allegedly taking, you know, kickbacks or whatever, and taking himself out of games, and somebody is making a truckload of cash.
Right, like what's the easiest way to come in on an under? Oh, I don't feel well. My tummy hurts. I got to leave the game early.
Yeah, the bubble guts, right?
Yeah, and like it's one thing where, all right, so this happened for the first time on January 26th. Okay, whatever. It's kind of weird, but whatever. And then it happened again 5 days ago. And now it's like, whoa, this is a little bit too weird. We are pulling you from the lineup, and we are now investigating.
We got a ton to get into tonight. It's a very busy overreaction Monday with Jonathan Zaslow. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We have NFL rules changes. We have athletic directors. We got coaches coming on from the Sweet 16. We've got Deion Sanders delivering a very firm and, well, to be honest, realistic message to every NFL team. We're going to touch on all of that on a very busy Monday. But up next, 888-SAY-ESPN is the number, 888-729-3776. How much do you trust the game that you are wagering on? When you hear stories like coming out of the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, with Jonte Porter with the Raptors, this Woj bomb has just dropped about, I don't know, what, 30 minutes ago, or whatever it was. How much do you truly trust the game that you are wagering on? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your reaction to these stories right now here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rob Manfred and Adam Silver might want to leave on a rocket right about right now.
Manfred's so pleased right now. He loves the story that just came out 30 minutes ago.
It's attention. He's Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Question on the table. How much do you trust the games that you're wagering on? Because, Rob, there's a scandal in Major League Baseball right now. Shohei Ohtani spoke for the first time today through his new interpreter, talking about his old interpreter. He says stealing $4.5 million from him to pay off an illegal bookmaker in Southern California. Something just doesn't smell right there. And I don't know how much I do or do not believe from what Shohei Ohtani said in his first public comments.
I don't think I've
since the story.
Anything.
But and then you've got now Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, dealing with the Toronto Raptors and Jonte Porter. This story coming from Gene Wojnarowski, if you're just tuning in, that Jonte Porter has been pulled from the Raptors game tonight. Why? Well, Zaz, because it is alleged that he also has
maybe
been doing some things are not on the up and up.
Yeah, some irregularities involving player prop bets directly involving him. And what's the best way for a player, or what's really the only plausible way for a player to control his props? Well, to go under, all right? You can't necessarily control the over. There's another team out there that's trying to prevent you from doing the things that are will amount to success for your team. But you have control of your player's stats going under, especially when in the two games in question, he left after just a few minutes because of, one, re-aggravating a previous injury, and two, he had
bubble guts. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And to add to it, we should also add here, Ian, that those player props, inexplicably, we're talking about Jonte Porter. We're not even talking about Michael Porter Jr. We're talking about Jonte Porter here. His prop bets, that those two nights, were the most bet on prop bets for an NBA player that evening, according to DraftKings Sportsbook.
Jonte bleeping Porter, who averages around 4-4 for the Toronto Raptors, and his were the most wagered on prop bets of any player that night. I mean, that's crazy. That's
insane. It doesn't make any sense.
And multiple nights. It's not just that one. That's where the red flag was thrown up, right?
That's why this is happening now, because the second time was 5 days ago.
Absolutely remarkable. I'll be brutally honest. I mean, there is not a game that I wager on that I don't trust immensely. I mean,
there's never been one time that you're watching, like, this is really weird what I'm watching right now.
But it really doesn't go through my head. I mean, because the Vegas is so remarkable. And again, this goes back to a story that Jay Rude, former director of the MGM Sportsbook, told me years ago. I can't remember what came up. It was something in college. Or maybe we were just talking organically about, maybe it was Hot Rod Williams going back to the Tulane days, whatever it may be. Remember that scandal? Or Arizona State? I can't remember what it was. But he said, look, that kind of stuff, we're going to catch you every time, because we have an army of people following every single game. And you're wondering, well, why Jonte only play 3 minutes? Well, you have to actually play in the game in order to have a prop bet be activated. That's why he only went in for 2 or 3 minutes in these two games, and one he had the, quote, eye injury, and the other one he had the, quote, bubble guts.
My tummy hurts. Nobody can prove it. I can't play anymore.
He gone. So the question to you right now is, how much do you trust what you're watching and wagering on? Tom in North Carolina. Tom, you're on ESPN Radio. What do you got? What do you think?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings and all that, they just made a big stink about coming into North Carolina. And Kevin Hart and Gronkowski, they're on, you know, it's like every 15 minutes when the commercial comes on, they're on, and now they've got a DraftKings lesson show that they're showing on North Carolina on local TV. And my point is this, you know, the players is one thing, but who's to say that with these billion-dollar companies that the referees are not being, contacted, and maybe they're being offered so much money to throw a game, like in a football game, call a penalty that's not really a penalty, or you've got referees that, like in the NHL, that are making calls that, you know, just don't make any sense. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's not that these things are just with the players. What I'm worried about is how can you actually honestly say that you're going to watch a very honest and fair game?
Okay, so here's what I would say. Thanks for the call, Tom. Here's what I would say, Ian. Nothing has changed in the regard that he's talking about there. The idea that a referee or an official can make calls here and there because he's on the take, we're going back 1,000 years. Like, just because, ESPN Bet or like you said, FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever is all of a sudden legal in so many states, that doesn't mean that this is a new thing here. That nothing has changed in that regard. No. All of his concerns, if you want to be concerned about it, have been concerns forever. That's not new.
No, Tim Donaghy, remember that name? And that was what, 10, 12 years ago?
Right.
Whatever
like
it was, maybe 15 years ago. This has been going, these kinds of things, when it comes to trusting what you're wagering on, have been going on since the beginning of time. I mean, go back for years and years, 30, 40 years in you know, Premier League, big league soccer over in Europe. I mean, or south of
these
the border,
stories
especially,
pop up all the
everywhere.
Time.
Yeah. Now I think it's just become more commonplace for us to talk about it because of what you just mentioned. Legalized wagering is happening state to state and growing very, very quickly. Kind of like marijuana being legalized, you know, state to, it has become more commonplace, right? So now with wagering being legal in so many more states, that you're all of a sudden it's like, well, is this game rigged? No, it's not at all. You know, for the most part, meaning 99.9%, it's become more of a talking point because it has become more commonplace and it doesn't have that negative stigma around it because it has been legalized in so many different areas.
And like you said, it being more commonplace, consider this, you know, like you said, marijuana is legal in more and more states these days. But if I'm sitting here with you right now, Ian, and I want to get – now, listen, I'm in Florida. It's not legal except for medicinal. But if it were, I'm sitting here with you, Ian. I can't just say, okay, I would like to have marijuana right now. I can't just make it appear. But right now, I can grab my phone and I could place a bet if I want to right this second. Yeah, it's super accessible.
Yeah, and right now Rob Manfred is dealing with this with Shohei Ohtani, and now Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, is dealing with this because of this Jontay Porter story. If you are just tuning in, Gene Wojnarowski reporting that he's been pulled from the game tonight because he allegedly was basically on the take.
There's no other way to look at it.
No,
I'm not gonna. I don't want to sit here and say that he did it because that's not a good thing to say. But you look at this story. It was completely under the player's control, where if he wants to produce zero stats, he could produce – you can control playing super poorly. If you go into a game and you say, I'm going to play awesome today, you may want to do that, but you don't have total control of that. If you go into a game and say, I'm going to be really terrible today, oh, you're in control of that. You could do that. And you can even leave the game early to make sure that you didn't do anything productive, and that's what happened here. And as an individual player prop – he was the most wagered on those two games.
Not Steph Curry, not LeBron James, Jontay Porter, who averages around 4-4.
The two-way player.
The Toronto Raptors making $400,000 in change. Mordecai in North Carolina. Mordecai, your reaction. Go ahead. You're on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hey, y'all. I hope people aren't surprised, you know, what's happening here, you know, what you gentlemen are making reference to as far as the situation with Ohtani and baseball and this new development, you know, with the NBA. I mean, what do people think is going to happen when you start making wagering money on sporting events legal in this country? I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, you might as well have a bunch of drunk alcoholics, you know, playing on the field or on the court. I mean, it's why can't you just enjoy sports for the purity of it? Why must you involve money? We're going down fast here. We're going down fast.
Mordecai, I'll tell you this, and thanks for your phone call.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
I've had the privilege of being on the call of NFL games over in London, and when you walk into Wembley, that historic stadium, there are kiosks there, Mordecai, for Premier League soccer games. You know what those kiosks are for? Not ATM machines. It's to go place a wager on the game that you're actually attending. They don't have that here.
I think they do in Cleveland. I think in the Cavs arena they do.
Pro sports here in America are behind Europe and South America and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Now they're finally catching up and taxing it. I mean, that we were actually catching up with everybody else.
But I also, Ian, like, I want to do what I want with my money. It's my money. If I want to gamble, I want to gamble. I want to do what
Absolutely.
I want with my money. I don't want anyone telling me I can't gamble. I want to do what I want with my money.
And catching Porter, to me, that is a positive because – whatever he allegedly did, they actually caught it. That, to me, is a positive, and that's regulation. Coming up next, an athletic director who's a powerful man has got not one but two teams in the Sweet 16. We explain that next on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tough day for the smart kids yesterday in the NCAA tournament. Heck of a day if you're a member of the ACC. With Jonathan Zaslow giggling in the background, in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. So we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. Let's begin with yesterday. I mean, if you go to Yale, if you go to Northwestern, if you go to James Madison, damn. Because, I mean, it was a beatdown. And I'm going to give Northwestern to Chris Collins' guys a hell of a lot of credit. You're down 30 to the reigning champs, and they didn't quit. They almost came back and covered the 14. With about 30 seconds to go, they're only down 16 with the ball, with possession. I mean, by the way, if that hits, maybe I don't hit a nice little four-gamer, right, because I was playing with house money. But bottom line is they didn't quit. But on Saturday, you had some drama, right, with Oakland and NC State, which was remarkable. And Boo Corrigan set to join us at some point, hopefully, here, NC State Athletic Director, great friend of ours, College Football Playoff Committee Chair, joined us every Tuesday during the college football season. Joined us last week after his squad cut down the nets in the ACC. And his women, by the way, just went on to the Regional Four, the women's version of the Sweet 16. So he's having a heck of a run right now. But bottom line is yesterday, outside of a couple games, was a very tough day, especially if you have a high, very high IQ and a very good GPA.
Yeah, but you know what? Those schools that you just mentioned there, James Madison, Northwestern, Yale, they're going to look back at this season and say, that was so much fun because they all won a first-round game. They all got to have an opportunity to play for the Sweet 16. Like, it didn't go the way either of them wanted, especially because all three of them were blowouts. But they're going to look back and remember what the first round felt like after that game, and it probably felt really, really great, especially Northwestern. I mean, Northwestern beat a really good, well, a pretty good this year, FAU team. Like, that was,
it was a Final Four team last year.
Yeah.
You know, well, look at James Madison. They took down a team that was playing for a Big Ten title and did it convincingly. And then here came Duke, right? I mean, a bit of a different animal. But bottom line is this, and overall, you know, when you come into the tournament, the SEC and the Big 12 were unanimously coast-to-coast, border-to-border, right, agreed upon that they were the deepest and best conferences in college basketball. And then, for the most part, not having a great run, especially the SEC in the tournament, and
now you've got terrible.
Now you've got four ACC teams moving on to the second weekend of the Sweet 16, and people are going, "Well, oh, looks like the ACC was a lot better than most people thought." No, that's not the way it works. For 34, 35 games for an entire season, the SEC and Big 12, in my opinion, Zaz, were the best conferences in college basketball. They were the deepest conferences in college basketball. In a one-and-done format, one game, in this tournament, the ACC is proving it, that it has a better ability to survive in advance.
And there it's just two games over difference. A three-day span, too. You know, like it's super small sample size. It's what makes the Major League Baseball playoffs so dangerous, because it's a game that is played over the course of 162 games, and then you get to the playoffs, and somebody can get hot in a really small sample size. And you got a little bit of that here.
Texas Rangers. Last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a damn good baseball team all year long. Were they the best team in the American League all year? No. But they got hot, man, at the right time. And next thing you know, dude, they're hoisting trophies, right? And opening day is Thursday. So there you go, man. It doesn't get much better.
And that's what happens with NC State, too, where they've now won seven in a row. You know, they had no chance of making the tournament. They get the automatic bid. And, yeah, you get five in a row in the ACC. And now what's going on right now, amazing run. Really cool for them.
Well, let's bring in the athletic director who is riding high right now. His ladies just survived in advance to the second weekend. His men have survived in advance to the second weekend. And they've had to do it by going to overtime yet again. Boo Corrigan, NC State athletic director, returns here to Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio. Boo, how's the ticker holding up, man? How's the heart?
You know, there's no need to go and work out every day. I can tell you that much. I feel like the last couple of days I've been in and out of arrhythmia with this whole thing, but absolutely thrilled to have both our men's and women's team in the Sweet 16. What a great thing for our fans and our students and in both programs.
So, Boo, what's the travel situation like for you? We want, you know, you want to be there to support the men. You want to be there to support the women. This has got to be a whirlwind for you the last few days.
It certainly is, and we're still trying to figure out where or what time the women play. But we're gonna do the best we can to try to catch both. If we can't catch both, being really honest, I'm gonna go with the men. I've been with the women the last couple of years, and want to see how this thing rides out with the men.
With Jonathan Zaslow, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Boo Corrigan, NC State Athletic Director, great friend of the show, returning here to just kind of look over his two squads, both surviving and advancing to the second weekend in the NCAA tournaments. And Boo, if you can, man, when you go on a run like this, and just stay with the men for a second. I mean, it's the greatest run. When we talked to you last week, we were talking about this is the best run you guys have been on since 1983. Jimmy Valvano, right? I mean, survive in advance, cutting down the nets against Phi Slamma Jamma. Now, your men have gone one step further, and now in the Sweet 16 again for the first time in a long time. What does a run like this do for an athletic department and an athletic community in college?
I think the biggest thing is the enjoyment that our players.
Do we lose Boo?
I think we lost him, Ian.
Together.
There we go.
And completely engaged with each other. And, you know, you can't say enough about the connection that our guys have, that our women have, for that matter, in this whole thing. But, again, it's been a while, right? We talked about it the other day. It's been a while since we won an ACC championship. It's been a while. It's been 9 years since we've been in the Sweet 16 on the men's side. But, you know, seeing our fan base, seeing 10-year-old kids that don't know anything but winning championships, right? I mean, talk about the different side of the coin with parents that are 45 years old. And just, again, just seeing the enjoyment that everyone's getting out of this.
Boo Corrigan, NC State Athletic Director, joining us here on Amber and Ian. I'm Jonathan Zaslow, filling in for Amber. Of course, he is Ian Fitzsimmons. Boo, I want to talk about have you had a moment where you're saying to yourself, okay, we're talking about the men's side here. We were in one place a couple weeks ago with knowing that we need to win the ACC tournament to get to the big dance. And now, have you had a moment where you've said to yourself, wow, these men, they're 80 minutes away from the Final Four?
No, it's been amazing. The one thing I will say, Jonathan, in this whole thing is it's been such a, you know, game by game, half by half, 4 minute period by 4 minute period throughout this whole thing that it's hard not to really think about it in that context. But
you know, I think there may have been, you know, holy cow. And that's a nice way of saying it on radio, right? that's the nicest way to say it, looking at each other like, you know, wake up in the morning and looking at my wife, Kristen, going, champs, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, good. We didn't dream the whole thing. But, you know, again, tribute to Coach Keats, tribute to our players and the connectivity they have and, you know, leadership, right? And it's that phrase, kind of team run, player run. But, you know, Coach Keats has done a great job empowering our students to get to where they've gotten to and just seeing the joy that they have. And quite frankly, it's a lot nicer to walk around the neighborhood right now. You know, the couple Tar Heel and Duke fans, a couple Wake fans in that neighborhood. Now all of a sudden they're, I don't know if they're mad at me or if they're happy for me. I can't quite figure it out.
Have any of them approached you, whether you were walking the dog or whatever it may be, and said, hey, congrats, and he's wearing a Tar Heel shirt or a Wake shirt?
Well, not so much. If they're flying their colors, I don't get a whole lot because I'm always flying the pack when I'm here. But, no, they've been great, and everyone's so happy, for us. You know, it's pretty good day when the 919 has more teams in the Sweet 16 than other conferences have, right? It's a pretty special time to be in Raleigh.
No doubt about it. But what about your guy DJ Burns Jr.? When we talked to you last week, his footwork is amazing, and he's such a big guy, always has a smile on his face. I mean, I want to put football pads on him just to see how he play a tight end. I mean, his foot he's remarkable, but you also know the person. If you can, describe the big fellow with the big smile that just hung 24-11 on Oakland to get you guys to the Sweet 16.
Has a zest for life, right, and has that infectious personality. But, you know, when you watch his play – DJ Horn's the same way, right? Yeah. And the joy that he has when he's out there playing. But, you know, DJ Byrne, the thing that we liked the most, we were watching the our first-round game, obviously, against Texas Tech. But, you know, as it got deeper into the second half, you could literally see the fans of other teams stand up every time he touched the ball. And you could see them cheering just for him to see – what's going to happen. And whether it's a spin move, a power move, a pass, you know, he just seems to always make the right play and just has a joy for what it is. And again, Coach Keats and those guys did nothing to restrain it, which is the right move, right? You know, let them, if DJ's having fun on the court, let them have fun, you know, and I think it makes it that much more fun.
Boo, how about just the joy and the men's and the women's side? You look in the crowd late in these games and just the joy on the faces of the family of the students, the alumni of the school. I mean, how great is that?
It's awesome to see that. And on the men's side, it hasn't happened for a while, but the job that Wes Moore has done with our women, and I know I was a little bit late, I apologize, but I was at our women's game tonight, but just the joy that people have. And, you know, I'm sure that Charlotte is more red than it's ever been. Greensboro is more red than it's been. I know Raleigh is more red than it's ever been. And the pride that people have in this great university, and we got an awesome chancellor in Randy Woodson, and just what this represents. And, you know, at the end of the day, sports brings people together and allows you to celebrate a university.
Amen.
And you know what, fellas? We're celebrating an awful lot right now.
Hey, enjoy every bit of it. Really, and cool. When we talked to you last week, that glass of wine, that vino, right, that red, it tastes just a little bit better on the palate when you're winning. Hey, Boo, congratulations to your ladies today. 17-1 at home, 29-6 on the year. They beat the Big Bad Vols of Tennessee, 79-72. The Lady Wolfpack are going to the Sweet 16. The men are in the Sweet 16. Boo's going to go have a glass of wine with his family. Thank you so much, Corgan. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, man, y'all the best. Take care.
See you, bud. Boo Corgan, friend of the show, wants to keep that mojo going. I guarantee you, men and women win again. You know what? We're going to be getting the phone call. When am I on?
Right. You got to keep the mojo going, man.
Hey, I'm from Louisiana, man. I believe in that hoodoo voodoo. All right, coming up with Jonathan Zaslow and me and Fitzsimmons, we have NFL rules changes, one I like and one I really want to punt on. We details coming up right here on ESPN Radio. NFL rules changes. One is done, and every player on the defense side of the ball ain't happy.
Yeah.
The other might be coming, and it's a big one. Well, Jonathan Zaslow and me and Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, ESPN App Series XM Channel 80. Before we get to NFL rules changes, we were just having a conversation. Why is it, and Zaz, I don't know, you have kids?
Yeah, I got two teenage boys.
Okay, so you understand where I'm coming from here. James Steele has kids. Rachel is our, like, logic person, right? Because she, why is it that the kids take over the parents' bathroom? Well, my kids, hey, have a bathroom upstairs.
Right.
Why do they have to come and invade ours where hair dryers and makeup are all – we have a dual vanity, right? But
yeah.
It's all on my side. So yeah. My wife's is pristine, but the other two people in my house that have ovaries have taken over my side. So
yeah,
why is that?
I don't have that problem on my side of the vanity because – on my side, you know, you got the shaving clippings. So my side's not as cleanly as my wife's side. So my boys don't ever use my side.
But you would think that these two girls would not be going over where, yeah, you got the beard trimmings. They don't
right.
do. I can't get in my own bathroom.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. And as far as the shower goes, I mean, one of my boys will use our shower, but not at the expense of me being able to shower. Like, I
get boxed out.
It sounds like you need to get back in control of your situation.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, I've lost contain.
You don't have the upper hand right now. You got to get the upper hand back.
I mean, it is – when I say lost contain, man, I mean, they hit the edge and they're gone like I mean –
lost contain.
I mean, I mean, it's over, man. I mean – You might as well go Herschel Walker down the left sideline. I mean,
maybe
you got to
spruce
over.
Up their bathroom a little bit, make it a little
stop.
Nice.
I ain't spending.
I don't know. I know it would cost money. I get it. Yeah. I know.
That's what I said. I said maybe your bathroom has better lighting,
I'm
maybe
sure
better
it does.
Mirror, better.
It's my wife's tub.
Is it
that's
like a jacuzzi
is.
Tub in there, or just a tub in general? I mean,
it's just a tub.
I don't.
Why can't
see
you
a
get your girls a jacuzzi tub, Ian?
You know what I make. That's why. All right, back to our regularly scheduled program here on ESPN Radio. As James Steele now just shrugs his head. All right, NFL rules changes. This one's happening. The Seahawk tackle, which is the hip drop tackle. And it's been deemed a Seahawk tackle because years ago, as Albert Breer, when he joined us from Sports Illustrated last Friday, and it's spot on. Pete Carroll started teaching this in the NFL years ago. And it's a rugby-style tackle.
When you wrap around the hips and just
and use your body weight
yeah.
and drag them to the ground.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid head-to-head collisions. Trying to cut down on concussions. So what do they do? The Seahawks studied rugby-style tackles. Why don't rugby players who don't wear helmets
right.
have fewer concussions than NFL players who have concussions? Well,
that's a good question.
Their form tackling is better. So they have this hip drop. But it's evolved a little bit in the NFL where players will, when they grab a player's waist, shoulders, whatever, and use their body weight to drag them down, now they kind of start to swing around the ball carrier.
And that
the
doesn't
offensive
happen
player,
in rugby, you're saying?
Very rarely. And that's where some of these injuries are happening. Now, you know, the rules committee and Troy Vincent and others said today that it's very rare when it happens. But when it does, they need to throw the flag on it. That whip around on the hip drop, quote, Seahawk tackle. Well, I pose this to you, Zaz. If you're a defender, that's a judgment call by a ref, whether
yeah.
you whipped your body around or not, right?
Because it's good form tackling when you see it upon appearance
yes.
at first, you know?
How are you to try and figure out, or how's a ref going to be able to decipher whether that was just a good hip drop rugby-style tackle, or if you whipped around if an offensive player gets hurt?
From my understanding, the way that they police this could be more along the lines of retroactive, where it's like, hey, you use the hip drop tackle, we're fining you X amount of dollars after the game. I don't know if it's going to be flagged all that much in-game.
Okay. John Mara, Giants owner, He's at the owners' meetings. Why? Because he is the Giants' owner. He was asked about the hip drop and why they said, you know what, it's out, it's banned, it's a penalty. Here's his explanation.
It was a tactic that we had to get out of the game. The injuries were too severe, and there were too many of them. And, you know, in my experience being on the competition committee, the players have never been happy with a lot of the safety-inspired rules changes. They always feel like it makes the defensive players' jobs that much tougher, and it does. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's going to protect guys from injuries, and it's going to be it's just a tactic that we had to get out of there. And players, these players are the greatest athletes in the world, and every time there is a rules change, they adapt. They figure out how to tackle the ball carrier without the horse collar, without the helmet to helmet. Now they're going to have to do it without the hip drop maneuver.
All right, Zaz, you know what I heard there? Offense pays the bills. Offense generates more dollars. Offense sells tickets. Therefore, we can't have offensive players getting hurt. Therefore, hey, defenders, go figure it out. We're outlawing this too.
Look, I don't think you could compare it to the horse collar. Horse collar is very easy to see and very easy to call, and also a very dangerous play. But this here, I hope that the way that I interpreted the proposed rule change, which is a rule change now, I hope that the way that I interpret it is correct, because I hate the idea if I'm going to be watching a game and a guy makes a tackle that looks like a very safe tackle where he wraps you up around the waist, and then we get a 15-yard flag thrown and we're watching replays and it's like, what was wrong with that? That's going to bother me during a game if we're getting flagged for something like that in a big spot. Like, I hope that I'm right the way that I interpret it, which is going to be somewhat of a retroactive fine when they see these types of tackles.
How are you going to feel when you have a kickoff where the kicker's ball by himself, XFL style, and then you have your kick coverage team on the 40, the kick return team around the 30 to 35? Dude, it's just the optics. It doesn't look right. It is safer, but that the new kickoff rule has not been voted on just yet. They may table it to May, but it might hit while the owners' meetings are still going on in Orlando. We'll keep you up to date on that one, because that one, Bubba, that could be a problem, along with the hip drop, which is already out. He's Zaslo. I'm Fitzsimmons. Coming up next, a wagering scandal in the NBA. Details right here on ESPN Radio.